Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. Roger, Labor Day is past. College football has kicked off. Some of us still have World Series, perhaps, to look forward to in baseball. That's not me. That's much more you.
Go Dodgers.
Summer is giving way to fall.
And that has led into our series we're doing here in September on Fridays. We're basing it on a passage in Jeremiah chapter 8. And it's one of those verses that's just wonderful how it's worded in our English Bibles, and it's just layered and layered with ideas. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here. It's Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. It says, harvest is past, summer's ended, and we are not saved. Last week, we kind of looked at this passage in the context in which it was written, and the idea that the prophet has been warning these people, and the hourglass was up. God was just He warned them and warned them. They ignored and they ignored. So the Babylonians were going to come. Life was going to change. And we talked about the sense of urgency and the sense of time. There, you know, you can't just wait for certain things when you are in a better position because time doesn't slow down. And what we're going to talk about today as we continue looking at different layers and some things that will help us is that life is fluid and life always moves forward. That's what we want to drive in this lesson today. And so the two things about summer is over. The first thing is you can't pause. You can't say, well, you know, we're into fall and I like fall. The leaves turn. It's pretty. And I'm going to just push the pause button and we're going to have three seasons of fall. That doesn't happen because life always moves forward. And so what that teaches us is that life is always changing. That child will grow up to become an adult. That little puppy grows up to be an old dog. That kitten becomes a cat. And you cannot pause things. Secondly, what that teaches us, and this is really where we're going to today, is that when summer is past, you can't go back. So for us in Indiana, summer, fall, and then comes winter. And there's not a lot of people around here likes winter. It's just a lot of people go down to Florida if they can because it's just cold and snowy and we just don't like that. So we can't say, well, you know what? We've had summer. We're in the fall. So I'm going to go back to summer. Well, you can't do that. You can't go back. You can't go back to your old high school and say, you know what? I didn't do too good in my test, so I'm going to be a sophomore again. Somebody in their 50s and 60s, they don't do that. You cannot do that. You can go buy your old house. You can even buy the old house you grew up in, but it's not the same thing. The neighborhood has changed. The trees have grown or been cut down. Things are not the same as they once were. You cannot go back. And so that's something we need to talk about as we think about our walk with Jesus, is how do we deal with our past.
Yeah, even outside of the Bible, there are great philosophers who have reflected on this idea. The whole principle made me think of a famous Greek philosopher's statement you've probably heard before. No man ever steps in the same river twice. For it's not the same river and he's not the same man. You know, you might have a favorite river or stream up in the mountains or something that you visit once a year, but you step in it in 2021 and then Lord willing next fall in 2022, you step in it. It's a different river, different water. And you are a different person. And that is most certainly a biblical principle. Roger, when I think of this idea, I think in terms of a wake-up call. That's what's going on in Jeremiah chapter 8. They could not go back and change the past, but what is being issued is a wake-up call. You can't hit the rewind button, harvest is past. Summer is over. What am I going to do about it now?
Yeah, that's the reality. You know, for for the literal person who would have heard that back then, the idea is, okay, I wake up and it's fall and I haven't planted my grain. Oh, it's too late. You missed it. What were you doing back in spring when everyone else was planting? And that same principle can apply to us spiritually as we think about that. Well, let's talk about some general principles about our past. One of the first things we would understand is every one of us has a past. Every single person has a past. A little baby, his past is not very long. You get somebody that's very old, they have a very long past. But everyone has a past. There's a story connected with that. And then all of us who have this past, there are some good things and there are some bad things in our past. That's true of all of us. There's some precious memories that we hold dear from the past. We can get out the old photo albums and flip through them of vacations and special occasions, and they're just rich and rich with great memories for us. We also realize that there's been mistakes we made. There's been sin in our life, and that's true to every person. We have a past. But now, the question is, we can't go to the back. We can't go to the past. What do we do with this past?
It makes me think of Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, where wisdom counsels us, say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Roger, I think that's something worth thinking about on a Friday. What do you think is the danger of someone, we use the phrase, stuck in the past? What's the danger of being stuck in the past?
Well, you know, part of that is you glorify the past, and you take it out of context, and you exaggerate it. Oh, the good old days. You know, I wish we were back in the 1960s. That was a good old days. Well, back in the 1960s, few cars had seat belts. There was no such thing as car seats for kids. We got banged around that car, you know? And a lot of things in life now that we take for granted, air conditioning in the entire house, not a room air conditioner, mm-hmm. but the entire house. Color TV and this remote, and I don't have to get out of my chair. I got 3,000 channels, you know. Those are some of the conveniences we have today. We have better medicine. We have better health, better food, all those things. So part of being stuck in the past is distorting things, thinking that things are always better in the past, and that's not always true. There were some things that are good, but there's some things that's not. And what that can do is it can close our eyes to how good things are today. We think about congregationally. Look what we're doing right now. We're talking in these microphones, and this is going out all over the place. Well, what a technology we have. We can live stream. We can record things. We can have on our archives just dozens and dozens and dozens of sermons. A person can go back and hear the same sermon as many times as they want. You couldn't do that years ago. And so when we think about the good old days, sometimes that just is not a true picture of what things really are.
Yeah, you just got to read to the second book of the Bible and you see that this is a very human tendency. I mean, we have these liberated Israelite slaves, and over again, they will reach back and say, boy, we had it so good in Egypt. There were melons and breads and all sorts of things to eat and fresh water to drink. We read that and it's almost comical how short-sighted and selective their memories are. But I think, at least personally, one of the reasons that is documented for us is to show when we live with that sort of attitude, look at how they treated Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Look at the bitterness that was in their heart, the flaring up of anger and the small faith that they had with God. If we're not careful, if we're stuck in the past and stuck in this cycle of, well, those were the good old days and it will never be as good as it once was, not only might we miss out on the present, but our hearts can come to be very closed, very dark, very self-centered. Christians are not immune to that by any means.
No, and down the road in this series, we're going to have a whole lesson on this concept. But I think for the child of God, if he has a right faith and a right attitude about the Bible, he's going to realize the best days are yet to come. The idea that you know, the best of my life is behind me, absolutely not when you're a Christian. And we'll explore about that a little bit more. So two things about our past. One of them, and we're kind of talking about that right now, is our past can become an obstacle. There are some people who just cannot move over the past. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes it's the unwillingness to forgive somebody. Somebody said something to them a long, long time ago, and they've never gotten over that. I have been in some churches before where, you know, the first time I was with this congregation, and we're just chit-chatting about the history of the church, which I love to talk about those kind of things. And I start hearing about all these battles this church had and all the ugliness. And you think it happened last week. And then you start putting some time reference on this. These things happened 25 years ago, but they haven't moved on. They are stuck in the past. And that can hurt us. And it can keep us from where God wants us to be. And so our past, it can help us or it can hurt us. And it can hurt us if we don't seek forgiveness, if we don't forgive others, if we don't let go of the guilt, it can always hang around our neck. Regrets is just another word for past. We regret not doing this. We regret not doing that. And what that can do is forever cripple us and hold us to something that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. You know, if we turn that coin over and look at it positively, we can learn a great deal from the past, right? Not only our own, but the past of others. I don't know how long it has been since you just held your Bible and felt the weight of it and thought about how many pasts are represented in this book that you hold in your hands. And one of the great principles of wisdom is, okay, I cannot go back and change my past. I cannot go back and change anybody's past. I dare not get stuck in the past, stuck in something that I cannot change. I don't buy into this mirage that, well, the best is all behind me. But wisdom encourages me to learn. Right now, we're in our daily Bible reading most weekdays in the book of Genesis. How many powerful lessons can be learned from wise and foolish people in Genesis, godly and ungodly, righteous and unrighteous, men and women, young and old. What we have there, of course, is God introducing himself and God showing us how we get to the nation of Israel. But page after page after page is an invitation to learn from the past. I don't have to make every mistake in the book in order to figure out some ideas, some roads aren't a good idea. I can learn from the examples God has preserved of other people.
Peter said this as he wrote his second letter, second epistle, 2 Peter 1, verse 12, "Therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." And so one of the things the past will do is it reminds us. It reminds us through the examples of others. It reminds us of truth. Peter's saying, I'm not telling you something new. You know these things. You know what you should do. You know where you should walk. You know your obligation with God. And so that's one thing the past can help us with. We can stand upon the shoulders of righteous men and women who were before us. We see their godly example, the goodness that they did. And from that example, it helps us. It helps us today. It helps us for the future. So the past can be a wonderful, wonderful teacher, warning us not to go down certain roads because we see the outcome. We don't have to get drunk like Noah got drunk. We saw the outcome of that. We don't have to look on the rooftop like David did. We see the outcome of that. We can learn from their mistakes, but we also can learn good truths. Week after week after week, we're sitting in Bible classes. We're hearing sermons. We ought to be writing things down. We ought to be storing these in our memory bank, and then we will pull them out It's like a giant spiritual file cabinet. And so when things come up, oh, yeah, I remember that passage. This will help me here. This is what the Lord did here. And all of those coming out of our past will shape us the way God wants us to be.
Roger, just a couple of weeks ago, I was preparing one of our building blocks lessons for our young and old, many of our Bible students here in the context of our church family. And I ran across a phrase that has just stuck with me, and I hope will stick with me for a long time. I don't know how many times I had read from Luke chapter 5. It's the example of Jesus calling the first disciples. There are people who want to hear him, and so he asks a bunch of fishermen to put out a little and into the sea, and he teaches from the boat, and eventually he causes this great miraculous catch of fish. And in Luke chapter 5, Simon Peter, when he sees all of this, falls at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In that moment, Simon has a keen sense of his past and the past that has made him feel unworthy in the present. But the phrase that just jumped up and slapped me across the face is Jesus in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, when he said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." From now on. I can't go back and change the past. That the past has led me to my present, and maybe my past makes me feel very unworthy in my present. There was a woman in John chapter 8 who knew all about that, right? She is caught in the very act of adultery, and she's drugged before Jesus, and a bunch of religious authorities are anxious to use her to trap Jesus. And Jesus says to that woman, "I do not condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Summer is past, but as long as I have breath in my body, as long as I have time, this can be a turning point from now on.
You know, the wisdom literature tells us it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. And the reason, you know, the lion may be the king of the jungle, but if he's dead, summer's past. He can't do anything more. That dog, even if it's a little dog, he can do things. And so the idea there is choice and opportunity. From now on is a powerful statement. It's someone who recognizes their past. You know, where I've been hasn't been the right place. I haven't been going down the right road. I haven't been with the right people. But from now on, I'm going to make some changes. Before summer's over, I'm going to make the adjustments in my life. From now on, sin no more. From now on, I recognize God is counting on me to do certain things. And so that's what our past can do. Our past can be like a ball and chain that holds us down, and we can never move forward. Sometimes people will do that. Sometimes people will keep you from moving forward. They'll always remind you of your past. "You used to be like this. You used to say this. You said this." But I like the story someone said, "My past is like a house I no longer live in. That's not my stuff anymore." And that's how we need to look at that. But then the upside is our past can teach us. It can encourage us. It can remind us, from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus. From now on, I'm going to be stronger in the Lord. From now on, you can count on me because I am going to be a disciple of Jesus. All those things. But again, the echoing thought running through this little theme we're doing here is summer is past. Summer is over. There's a time coming when that curtain falls and it's too late. It's all over. And so we remind ourselves that we can't always be looking in the rearview mirror of life. We got to be looking through that windshield, looking forward, going the direction God wants us to go, and to do the things that the Lord wants us to do.
Very similar to what Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, right? I have not already apprehended the goal, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. That's really what this series is all about. In many ways, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for all of us. Summer is past. We're already in the second weekend of September. Are there things that need attention in our lives even today? We'll have two more lessons in this series, Lord willing. But Roger, in the meantime, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.